Welcome, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program. Today's July 13th, 2019, and we're here for 2 hours live. And I tell you, this whole week went by very fast. It was like I was here just a week ago, you know? But it just went really quick getting here. And in the course of the week, there's a lot of things to do to prep for the show. And time just flies by. It's almost, you know, I'm very prepared type of person. But on the program, when you're setting it up, there's last-minute details that you always have to do. So it's almost like before the last second of the clock plays and I'm on air, I'm always doing some adjusting, which is no different than today. But look, we're simulcasting live here and now, right now, at KMIL 105.1 FM, The Ranch, and also at Rockdale on KRXT 98.5 FM. If you're having troubles receiving it off the radio, go to their websites and live stream it that way. It'll come in crystal clear. Also, if you want to be part of the show today, give us a call here at the studio at 254-697-6633 or give me an email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com. Love to hear from you. Love to get the emails and the questions that you guys ask. It's always a great thing to study and analyze and present back over the radio. Also, our social media, go to aaronsgunshop.com, go to the Facebook page and like us on Facebook. Spread the word, share the videos, share it with everybody you know, and let's help the numbers grow here on the show so the show can get bigger and bigger and bigger and more people get involved with it. Also on Instagram, like us or follow us on Instagram, and by all means, subscribe to the YouTube channel, aaronsgunshop.com. Go to the YouTube channel and subscribe there. Lots of great videos, interviews, product spotlights, demonstrations, the whole work. So it's a great place to get a whole bunch of information and stay up to date and current with what we're doing here. Let me tell you what's coming up on the show today. As always, we have our true stories of self-defense from the American Rifleman's The Armed Citizens column. And we're going to be doing the month of June 2019. So if you're an NRA member and you got your magazine, you can read along with me as we do that. We're going to try and learn what to do and what not to do when it comes to situations like the stories that we're going to read. So get your note-taking material ready. After that, I'll have my observation piece, and everybody likes to hear that, see what's on my mind. And then we're going to have, hopefully, attorney extraordinaire Benton Ross Watson in. It's been quite a while, so I'm hoping that our schedules are tracking here. If not, we will come up with something, but I think he should be in. This week's tactical snacking segment with the delicious Janae Goodman is going to be on salsas and dips. No party is complete without them. So Janae's going to tell us all about it, what to do, how to make them, and how to make them taste great. And then at 11, the voice of law enforcement, retired police chief Randy Dixon. The Duke of Decency, the connoisseur of common sense, the pontificator of practicality, and all-around good guy, Randy Dixon is the voice of law enforcement. And I think the chief's going to be going over weapons, because in September, new other weapons now will become legal to carry. So I think he's going to give us an idea of how to do that properly. We're going to talk about our new segment, Words of Wisdom, Quotes and Memes. This week, it's going to be Thomas Jefferson. Product spotlight sponsored by ANC Firearms and Heidenhammer is the Ruger Mark IV 2245 Light 22 Auto Pistol. Now, this gun says Secret Agent Man written all over it. Okay, so go to my Facebook page, aaronsgunshop.com. Go to the Facebook page and check out the short video I have on it. It's a pretty slick looking gun. My special guests today are Patricia Posvar and Diana Biednell. Patricia is the owner of Visa Visa in Rogers and has become one of our new sponsors. They've got an awesome shop out there at Rogers. Diana is a decorator and so much more. And together, they're a powerhouse. They're destined to make the Rogers there the next round top. So we're going to have them here on about 11:30. And we've got a whole bunch more in between the cracks. So what we're going to do here is Kincaid, get ready to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to start off with our true stories of self-defense from the American Rifleman's The Armed Citizens column, and going to have a good time. So get ready, raise the volume, get your note-taking materials ready, and when we come back, like I said, we'll start with true stories. See you on the other side. Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program. Again, July 13th, 2019, and we're here at the true stories segment. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I try to do this cold. I want to get my initial reaction when I read these stories. So if I hesitate, hem and haw, it's because I'm trying to decipher through and get through the stuff I don't really want to read. Okay, so that's the deal here. But here we go. This is the June 2019 issue of the American Rifleman. Let's start with story number one, and it goes as follows. Late one night in West Philadelphia, a store owner was at the counter of his business when a masked man with a gun entered the building. The man then tried to rob the store as the owner and a clerk were inside. The owner pulled out his pistol and fired at the masked robber, who was hit in the stomach. The robber fired several missed shots at the store owner, and he fled the premises and entered a getaway car. Police later found the masked man unconscious in the driver's seat of a car with a pistol in his lap. The robber was pronounced dead at the hospital. Hey, fantastic story. Okay. I know people say, somebody died. Well, who cares? You come into my store and you try to rob me, and you're probably going to end up in the same way, because I'm always packing and I'm always alert. So if you try to mess with me and cause me to be robbed or threatened or kidnapped or whatever, you're going to get what's coming to you. And that's probably a piece of lead. All right. So be prepared. Know how to use it. Guy took the shot. He hit the mark. The other guy did not do so well. So that's a good story for the store owner. Story number two. A driver said he feared for his life in Pennsylvania during an ordeal in April. The driver picked up a man and a woman. The driver described feeling something amiss when the man suddenly told him to take a side alley before requesting a stop. The man told the driver he intended to rob him and struck the driver between the eyes with a gun. Bleeding, the driver left his vehicle while pursued by the man who was pointing a gun. Cornered and fearing for his life, the driver pulled out his concealed firearm and shot the would-be robber three times. Police were called and found the assailant dead at the scene. The woman fled. The driver had a permit and was not charged by police. Well, that's great, except delayed. My only beef on this story would be is if this driver is being assaulted like he is and he's trying to run away. You know, I know they always say run, hide, and fight. Well, in this situation, I'm going to fight, fight, fight. That's my only thing. But all in all, it turned out where the guy protected himself, saved his life, and took care of the aggressor. Story number three. Bless you, Kincaid.
Thank you.
Sitting at home, a couple was in the living room when they heard loud banging on their kitchen door. Going to investigate, the woman's husband went to the other room and saw a young man hitting the door while demanding to see a girlfriend. The homeowner ordered the man to leave. Refusing, the man reached his arm through the pet door to grab the doorknob and unlock it. However, the homeowner knocked away the man's arm. Then the man began throwing rocks at the door before breaking a window. The homeowner warned the man repeatedly that he had a gun and would shoot in defense. Undeterred, the man eventually unlocked the back door and yelled as he entered. The armed citizen fired his pistol once, striking the man in the leg in an apparent effort to stop him. As the man fell to the floor, the homeowner subdued him until police arrived. Criminal charges were pending against the intruder, who was treated at the hospital for his leg wound. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is interesting. Based on how they write the story, it gives you the impression that the homeowner shot him in the leg on purpose. That's the impression I got from a cold read. You never, ever want to do that. If that was the case, you never want to do that. If you've got time to aim, you've got time to do something else. If this guy's breaking in your house, the reason you shoot center mass is because under tense situations and the adrenaline's rushing, if you're minimal training or even with a lot of training, center mass is the biggest target to hit. If the target does not go down when hitting center mass, then you shoot somewhere else, maybe in the hip joint, maybe in the head, okay? But if you're aiming or winging to wing them or shooting a shot in the air to scare them, those are all wrong, because things are going to happen that weren't intended to happen. You got legal problems that come into play. So if you're going to make the decision to shoot that gun, center mass, stop the threat. We're never here to kill anybody. We're always here just to stop the threat, okay? So there you go. Three stories of self-defense from the American Rifleman's The Armed Citizens column. And hopefully we took some notes and we can learn what to do and what not to do if situations like this ever happen to us. And hopefully they won't. Now, Matt always is observing. And because of that, he has an observation piece. So this week's observation piece is titled, No Round in the Chamber, No Air in the Spare. Ladies and gentlemen, no round in the chamber and no air in the spare make no sense whatsoever. Let me start off with the spare tire. For preparedness sake, every car should have a good, serviceable spare tire just in case you get an unwanted and unexpected flat tire. Think about this, though. What if we had everything we needed to change the flat tire, including the spare, but the spare tire itself had no air in it? Now, I'm not saying the spare is defective or flat. It just doesn't have any air in it. So there you are on the side of the road. Your car is jacked up, the flat tire is taken off, and you're there holding the spare tire with no air in it. Well, I guess you're going to carry that spare to the nearest gas station to air it up. What a waste of time, and what an inconvenience. Have the air in the tire first. Well, The same can be said for having a round in the chamber for your gun. Many statistics say that gunfights happen quick and at close proximity. Some say in 3 to 4 seconds, it's all over. From start to finish, it only takes about 3 to 4 seconds. That's not a lot of time. It takes a second or two just to figure out what's going on and another second to draw your weapon. And that's if you're good and have practiced for situations like this. So taking the time to load the weapon by putting a round in the chamber puts you on the losing end of the timeline. Some say they do it so they have an extra second to think. Well, I just explained that one. You don't have the time to think. It has to become, you have to have prepared for that moment so that it comes memory response. Others say it's safer that way. Let me tell you my thoughts on that one. An overabundance of safety when it comes to a gunfight can be dangerous. Safety is great for safety's sake, but there gets to a point when it becomes counterproductive. If none of these makes sense, let me make it simple. Keep a round in the chamber because the bad guy has one in his. All right, Kincaid, let's take a break. When we come back, hopefully, attorney extraordinaire Ben Ross Watson will walk through the door. We'll see you on the other side.
Sometimes you just need more. But what do you do when that yard equipment needs more or just isn't working like it used to? The answer is Cameron's Fall Engine, formerly Cameron Seed Company. For friendly service and quantity work, stop it at 408 West Bath. They provide all your outdoor power equipment needs. Check out their selection of Echo, Snapper, and Zero Turn Big Dog Mowers. Power through the summer with Cameron's Fall Engine. Call 254-697-3452 or stop in at 408 West Bath.
Capellino, Dodd, Krebs Law Firm focuses on cases involving asbestos exposure, mesothelioma, birth trauma, defective products, and injury and death resulting from car and truck wrecks. Call the tough, experienced injury attorneys at Capellino, Dodd, Krebs Law Firm in Cameron. Call 888-MESO-FIRM or 254-697-4965.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's get face-to-face with Vis-a-Vis Galleria in their warehouse located at 3 Mesquite Avenue in Rogers, Texas. Vis-a-Vis Galleria is a boutique with new apparel and fashion jewelry and features over 20 vendors who populate 5,000 square feet of farmhouse, shabby chic, antique, and vintage furniture and home decor. There's even a booth dedicated to Iron Orchard designs. Patricia Posvar, owner of Vis-a-Vis Galleria, opens the Galleria Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. until 5:30 and will gladly host a ladies' night out shopping spree at your request. Diana Beadnell, an interior decorator and Galleria vendor, will offer complimentary design suggestions for your decorating challenges. Vis-a-Vis is a go-to destination stop. If you haven't been to Vis-a-Vis Galleria, go see what you've been missing. For more information, call Vis-a-Vis Galleria at 254-642-0005 or check them out on Facebook at Vis-a-Vis Galleria. Mention that you heard this ad and receive 15% off your boutique apparel purchase.
Next time you need heating and air conditioning or even duct cleaning, call Climate Control Air Conditioning and Heating in Rockdale. Routine maintenance, repairs, installation, or duct cleaning. Get the pros at Climate Control Air Conditioning and Heating. 512-446-4020. Stop by 1244 US 79 in Rockdale. They can service all brands of residential and commercial HVAC systems and are available 24 hours a day, including weekends and holidays. For the best, call Climate Control in Rockdale. 512-446-4020.
Capellino, Dodd, Krebs Law Firm in Cameron focuses on cases involving personal injury litigation, including asbestos exposure and mesothelioma. At Capellino, Dodd, Krebs Law Firm, you are never treated like a number. Cases are accepted on a contingency basis, so clients do not have to pay out of their pocket. Contact Capellino, Dodd, Krebs Law Firm in Cameron today. Call 888-MESO-FIRM.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cabinet Radio Program, July 13th. Attorney extraordinaire Benton Ross Watson, I think he may still be on vacation, to be honest with you. We've been having a hard time communicating because he's in a location that's hard to communicate with. So what we're going to do is, I was looking through some of our videos, and here's one that I got a lot of comments on. So I thought, let's just replay this one. It's concerning misdemeanors, felonies, pardons, and expungements. Unfortunately, there's a lot of people out there with things on their records that, you know, it messes you up for life, but the crime that was committed was like not that big a deal, but it really screws you up. So let's get a review on what's going on here. So Kincaid, why don't you set her up for me? Tell me when you're ready and we'll play attorney extraordinaire Benton Ross Watson and myself talking about misdemeanors, felonies, pardons, and expungements. You ready?
Yep.
All right, go ahead. You put it on pause. Ross, there's so many different topics I got in my brain, but on this particular one, the reason I asked this particular topic was because somebody was asking me about it. And it was, they had a felony, and we were talking expungement, and then somebody said something about their rights loss, and I go, I know you can lose some rights. So I thought, why not talk about this? Because I'm sure there's a lot of people out there in that particular condition where they have a misdemeanor conviction, a felony conviction, and when you have that, you lose certain rights. And it can be very difficult for somebody once they realize I made a stupid mistake in my life and it's causing long-term aftershock.
Okay, so the reason you get a lot of these questions is because, obviously, for the license to carry provisions, right, you can't have certain convictions within time periods. Also, you know, DWI is going to hurt you, have a finding of a chemically dependent person, right, if you've had two DWIs in the last convictions in the last 10 years. But that code section, 411, it's kind of, I guess, I don't know if it's ironic or coincidental or what. I don't know why the legislature put so many different kinds of topics within Chapter 411 of the government code. But the license to carry provision and the petition for non-disclosure means to get your record sealed is actually falls under the same chapter, okay, Chapter 411. And so you can stay within that parameters of that chapter when you're looking at your license to carry, also at your conviction issues as far as getting them sealed, because the license to carry provisions state that, you know, a conviction means basically an adjudication of guilt, whether that's deferred adjudication or whether it's probation or whether your probation's been, right, subsequently discharged and you've been dismissed. But it says in there the term does not include an adjudication of guilt or an order of deferred adjudication that has been subsequently expunged, pardoned under the authority of a state or federal official, okay, or otherwise vacated, set aside, annulled, invalidated, voided, or sealed under any state or federal law.
Okay, I got all the beginning parts of it, but you said if for some reason a felony is sealed, then you're still okay?
That's what the provisions of the government code say. They say a conviction, right, does not include, right, an order of deferred adjudication that has been subsequently sealed under any state or federal law.
What would be an example if somebody gets convicted of a felony and then it gets put in a sealed envelope, wrapped up, put on a file?
Okay, so let's talk about the benefits of, and I want to start with that because, you know, it's a gun rights show, and I get questions, calls all the time. I don't particularly like doing these kinds of cases. I refer a lot of these now, but I did a lot of these in the beginning of my practice, and I still do a couple. I still do some that are for clients that I know or for other past clients or maybe a case that's still pending that I'm working on. And so, I mean, these change all the time, and we're not going to get into very specifics because the statutes for expunction, right, the statutes for to seal, the statutes for restoration of rights, pardon, even when you're getting into juvenile, right, aspects, like is there a juvenile conviction, is a juvenile suspension, something of that effect, there's all different kinds of rules and codes for every single one of those. And then you've got offense specific. There's some offenses that are covered. So generally speaking, what's the difference in a non-disclosure, a seal, right? When you're asking the court for non-disclosure means they cannot disclose, so it's a sealing order. Okay, versus an expunction.
We say sealing, not sealing, roof sealing. We're saying sealing, it's secured, it's wrapped
sealed,
up.
To seal something, sealed. Yes. Okay. So I'll just read you what the code says, okay? And for an application for an expunction, okay, is going to say that the release, maintenance, dissemination, or use of expunged records or files for any purpose is prohibited. It says except as provided in the following subsection, the person arrested may deny the occurrence of the arrest and the existence of the expunction order.
Okay, this is new to me. I'm learning.
I can say I didn't get arrested. I can say there's an application that says, "Have you ever been arrested for an offense?"
That's
no.
That's if it's sealed.
That's if it's expunged.
Expunged. Okay.
So for an expunction, if it's expunged, it cannot. Those records cannot be released. They cannot be maintained. They cannot be disseminated.
They cannot be used.
It never existed. It never existed. So I never got arrested. Somebody asked me that. The only exception to that rule is to say that you never got arrested is this. Number three, it says, the person arrested or other person when questioned under oath in a criminal proceeding about an arrest for which records have been expunged may state only that the matter has been expunged. That's the only exception.
Why would they do that?
So you may state only. You may state only that the matter has been expunged.
I think if I had something on my record and I was blessed enough to be expunged, I'd say, okay, I'll deal with that one. All right. Sounds great.
Well, it says we're back on. Okay, good. So,
hi, everybody. We had technical difficulties. We are back. And if you want to hear the first part of this, we'll probably be reposting the whole show on my website, aaronsgunshop.com, later today or probably tomorrow. And always check out our podcast from previous shows. So we got attorney extraordinaire Benton Ross Watson. We're talking about expungements, misdemeanors, felonies. Y'all need to listen because I know you know somebody, and this is some good stuff.
Well, really brief recap. If you're trying to get a license to carry, says you can't have certain convictions. The license to carry provisions say that a conviction is a deferred adjudication unless, right, it's been sealed. Okay, and so that's where we started off, and then we went into what is the difference between an expunction, right, to get your records expunged versus getting your records sealed. What is the benefit to those things? And basically the benefit to an expunction is you can deny the fact of the arrest. You can deny that the thing ever even happened. And nobody's allowed to even contain or use or release or anything regarding records of the arrest, the underlying magistrate orders, or the court records. All that stuff, right, is off limits to everybody. And it's like it never, like you said, never existed, with the one exception being if you're questioned under oath about the arrest in a criminal proceeding, you may only state, you can't say yes or no. And it says, I think it's funny, it doesn't say civil proceeding. It says a criminal proceeding, question under oath, right? You may only state that the matter in question has been expunged. Okay, and so that's the only exception. Other than that, you can deny that the thing ever existed. So then what's the difference in the expunction and the sealing order, the petition or order for non-disclosure?
That's a very good question.
Okay, so if you get an order for non-disclosure, I'll just read the statute to you, okay? It says a person whose criminal history record information, the subject of a non-disclosure order, right, issued under this section, is not required in any application for employment, information, or licensing to the state that the person has been the subject of a criminal proceeding relating to the information that is the subject of the order. So in layman's terms, right, that information cannot be used or disclosed, right, in that you've had a criminal proceeding brought against you, right, when we're talking about releasing that information.
But if for some reason you do something criminal, they can pull it all out.
But that doesn't say anything about the arrest. You see, it says criminal proceeding. Does that include arrest? Right? I think some of the safer, I always tell my clients that the safest way to look at this thing is that if you're asked on an employment application, have you been arrested? Right? You need to say you've been arrested. Then it says, have you been convicted of any subsequent offenses? You can say no. Okay, as far as the conviction is concerned, because one, you got a deferred adjudication if you're asking for your records to be sealed. But if it's been sealed, okay, you can deny the fact of the criminal proceeding. Okay, and that's what it says. And so, right, the charging aspect, the charge brought before you, right, I think would be the initiation of the criminal proceeding. I don't think that that's going to include the arrest. Okay, so I think you can deny the effect of the charge and the subsequent proceedings after that fact. Okay? But it doesn't include you know, it doesn't say that they can't be used, maintained, or any other way for any other purposes. It still exists, but you get to claim that proceeding never happened.
This is very good information.
But there's all kinds of exceptions, and you can go on and keep reading in that section, and it's going to say that. And I've got some of them here.
I'd like to put the cart before the horse just for one question. Just so, don't go into depth. Just say whether it's possible or not. Can you pay to get a pardon or an expunction? And let me clarify my question. A lot of the times, if you get a ticket, they don't care about the fence. They just want money. They say, you come pay cash, we'll drop it down a little bit. Do they say, okay, you know, it wasn't a heinous crime. You pay me enough money and we'll give you an expunction or we'll give you a pardon. It'll just take time and money. Real quick answer, yes or no?
Again, I haven't done any other pardons since the last time we got on the show. What I said was that I've helped two people, right, apply for those. One got it, one didn't, but I didn't do the whole process myself, right? You should get an attorney that specializes in post-punishment type of issues. Like, they have people that specialize in getting your record sealed, doing expunctions. I can do that. But as far as pardons are concerned, they're very rare. Right, you need somebody that is really involved in the system, knows people.
That's what I mean.
Right, knows exactly how to go about doing the pardon aspect because they're rare.
Because there's some people, they're rare because people think it's impossible to do it. You've got
it's not impossible. It's definitely not impossible. Yeah, when you don't have to like actually know the governor, exactly. Right, for him to give you one, but you do have to present it in such a way. Right,
let's give you an example. A young buck here does something really stupid and gets convicted of a crime. Good kid, smart kid, wants to go into academy, but you can't do it. You're like, what did I do? So they got this tarnish on the record. So if they knew that it takes time, money, and effort, and they can get clean, they'd do it. But people think I'm doomed, I can't do it. I've got a friend of mine, and those are almost the same words. He goes, I was stupid, I made a stupid mistake, it just totally wrecks my life, I want to do this. I said, listen, you need to listen to the show, because I got an attorney coming on, he's going to be talking about it, he may shed some insight or direction as to what to do.
And so I'll give you an example. For sealing purposes, right, there's going to be a ton of exceptions. You can go in there and you say, oh, this is good, so they can't release my information relating to criminal proceedings. And then you're going to go to the next section and it's going to, right, give a list of what they can release it for. And you're going to see on there that pretty much anytime you need a license, right, they're going to release that information. Okay? And anytime that it relates to something medical, something guardianship-wise, something banking-related, if you're right in the employment context, right, that stuff's going to be able to be released. So does a petition for nondisclosure, having that stuff sealed, deferred adjudication, does that really help you, right, when we're talking about those? And I'm telling you that I've done enough healthcare cases when you have a family violence issue that pretty much, if there's any finding of family violence at all whatsoever, it really doesn't matter. And the sealing statute is very specific in that it says that you can't get it sealed if there's been, right, a finding, any offense that would fall under family violence, or an affirmative finding by the court that there's been family violence involved. And so, any one of those aspects, if you have one of those findings, you're going to have an extremely difficult, right, road ahead of you in trying to get a job or keep your job at a healthcare facility. And I don't like it. I've had some cases I thought were dumb, extremely dumb. And for some reason, we worked out a case. We worked something out because the costs and, in other words, you can beat the rat, but you can't beat the ride kind of thing. And so my client was like, well, look, this is going to cost way too much money. It's going to be way too much time and effort. I'm going to have to throw people under the bus. Like, I'm going to be thrown on the bus. I didn't do this, but it's going to be a whole lot easier just to take this Class C. Okay, but then they find out later, and, you know, I tell them, hey, look, you know, this has, you need to go check with the healthcare facility because I'm telling you, if you take this, it's going to be dangerous. They're going to have a right to do it. No, it'll be okay. You know, HR tells me this, HR tells me that. And I say, well, look, I'm telling you that I've done enough of these cases. And sure enough, right, they go ahead and take this deal, and then, you know, 2 weeks later, they're fired. And so,
fight for your right, man.
And so
don't give up.
And so then you come to me and you're upset. And I say, hey, look, you know, I tried to tell you this was going to happen and you needed to make sure that you were going to be able to keep your job before, right, anything like this right, you took any kind of deal like this. And so you need to be extremely careful if you're charged with anything that could fall under one of these provisions. And then even coming back and getting a sealing order is not going to help you in the context of a healthcare facility employment, because, right, they fall under the exceptions of the sealing.
What about LTC?
Right, that's a licensing, right? But like we said, for purposes of that section, a conviction does not include any offense that was sealed. Okay, and so I don't know how that's going to relate to, since the DWI provisions, the DWI provision says if you've had any two convictions in the last 10 years, right, then you're classified as a chemically dependent person.
I was told by an instructor for license to carry when I was going through the course and the updates, there's the law, and if you look in the video, you'll see me doing hand motions. There's the law, but then LTC is its own little sphere of law. What may be okay over here with some type of conviction totally screws you over here, like you were just mentioning. So each one of these things that are regulated, I guess, have their own little tweaks and twists. So you got to pay attention to what those are as this applies.
Right. And a lot of times, generally speaking, a conviction, a deferred adjudication, getting a deferred adjudication and then completing your community supervision under, and like we said, deferred adjudication is essentially what that phrase means. You're deferring adjudication. You're deferring judgment. Okay. So you're not, right, having a judgment of guilty, right, and conviction and convicting the person, although you might find them guilty, you're deferring judgment in the case, an actual conviction, right, for a later date and putting the person on community supervision. If they complete community supervision, right, it'll be dismissed. And so technically, if you completed community supervision on a deferred adjudication, you do not have a conviction. Okay, but if you get probation, right, you are essentially convicted and sentenced to jail, and your sentence, your jail sentence, is probated, i.e. suspended, okay, to allow you to stay out of jail and be out of jail and complete the terms of community supervision. And if you complete community supervision, right, then you don't go to jail. That makes sense. You don't get your suspension from jail time revoked.
I remember Rick was talking one time with me, and I made some kind of comments about the harshness of things, and he said it very clearly and very plainly, and I agree with what he said, that the law is set up in incremental stages. You know, first time, or depending on what the offense is, you do this or that, probation, deferred adjudication, do it again, and you spend a little time, more time, blah, blah, blah. And what you're saying here just reminds me that it's a progressive thing, and the law is trying to say, get your act together, get it straight, and there are provisions, but you know, you got to do your effort on your side too to get it done, right?
And so, yeah, and so a big part of this is that maybe if you listen to me when we first started this show, right, I told you, maybe, I don't remember, I'm assuming going way back when we first started doing this show, if you'd have asked me about deferred adjudication and non-disclosure and expunction about a DWI conviction, I told you, you can't get an expunction or a non-disclosure for a DWI. You still can't get an expunction, but the legislature, right, made it available, right, since that time, right, for you to get, okay, an order to seal your records related to a DWI. You can't. So you can, if you get a DWI and you're a first-time DWI offender, okay, and you want to get an application for non-disclosure, a petition for non-disclosure, you can do that if, right, you had an order for an interlock device, right, during the course of your probation.
What's that?
An order for an interlock device, and one of those things you got to blow into to get it to start.
Start, okay.
Okay? And as possible, you can still get it without the interlock device, but you have a 2-year waiting period and a 5-year waiting period. So if you do the interlock device, right, you can apply for a non-disclosure to get your record sealed, right, after 2 years. If you don't have the interlock device, but you successfully complete probation otherwise, right, you're going to have to wait 5 years. Okay? And so it's always a good idea. Now, I think to go ahead and get the interlock device and do the probation period and go through that. And Milam County doesn't offer it. I don't know why Milam County doesn't offer it. I think we've talked about Bill Torrey a lot, but I think folks should take it up with Bill Torrey about why we're not doing what we call pretrial diversion for DWIs and other things. Yes, I've gotten them to do what basically a real basic pretrial diversion on a couple of clients. It was extremely deserving. Okay, but we don't have that program here, and we need it. And it's for things like this you talked about, these really dumb cases like this case I just spoke about with the...
Well, it's not dumb. It's the person did a dumb thing.
Obviously, honestly, sometimes the persons that I'm talking about are what I think would be innocent of the charge.
Okay,
especially, and even if they're not innocent, maybe they did a dumb thing, but it's not a great case. Does that make sense? It's not a great case. It's really not just, even if they're technically guilty under technical standards of the law, right? The circumstances were extreme. They were not like they were. And plus, the harshness, right, of the consequences are going to be, right, more than they would be in a general case. And the circumstances just call for some kind of use of a different device. And that's why I think we should have a pretrial diversion program here in Milam County. And the pretrial diversion program means essentially that you're not charged. You're not charged. You enter into an agreement with the state, and they can put you on community supervision, make you do essentially what's called a community supervision. They can make you do a whole bunch of things, community service, classes, right? They can even make you pay a certain amount of fines, right? And after you've completed that, right, the district attorney or, you know, county attorney agrees to, hey, we're going to just dismiss our charge. We're not even going to file it. Or if we've already filed something, we'll agree just to have that thing dismissed. So there's no, you never go in front of the judge. And so you never fall under deferred adjudication or probation, right? And so you never fall under any of these because it would be what we call a pretrial diversion. And you could essentially come and get your records expunged. You could get your records expunged because the expunction statute would allow you to do that. Okay? Because you've never been given deferred adjudication. Okay? You've never been on community supervision under what we call 42A, which is a deferred adjudication or probation statute. Okay? You've had to do conditions, right? You've had to do certain things that you've agreed with the state. Hey, I promise you that I'm going to do these things. I'll pick up trash. I'll help the church. I'll go to classes. I'll, you know, get you a some kind of test. I'll get this stuff done for you, right? But you're not, and you're agreeing not to place me on deferred so that I can come back and get an expunction. Okay? And so that's another way you maybe get a DWI, right, arrest or something to that effect expunged, but that would be if you did not, they did not go forward in the criminal proceeding. They essentially dismissed the entire proceeding.
Okay, we're talking DWI. How does that apply to any other type of...
It would be the same thing. You could do the same thing, but for DWI, it's important because there's no way for you to get an expunction on a DWI or even any other charge for that matter, but the DWI and family violence circumstances, and two, you hear family violence, you say, why would we want people committing family violence? Look, man, you have two brothers that get into a little heated argument at Thanksgiving or something, and they're both great people, and it really wasn't anything but maybe an offensive touching.
Yeah, but the question is, who called that in?
Right, exactly.
And that's so, what irritates me.
And the family, and you got two people that's never otherwise had an issue, or maybe you got two young people, like 17 and 18 years old, and the 17-year-old is going to be able to get his expunged, right? Because, right, he's never been in trouble again, but the 18-year-old is now stuck with a family violence charge, and it's just like...
I got a question for you, man. Whatever happened to... You got a problem with me? Let's go behind this building, and we'll take it out skin on skin, fist on fist. Whatever happened to those days, man?
It better just be you and that person.
But it can't. You got
with
cameras,
no cameras and no phones.
I know, that's what I'm getting at. Why does everybody get so hyped up about this? You got a bloody nose, but, you know, you got your emotion out, and you're fighting over some chick or something. It's just normal stuff.
But the guy called me, a guy, and so he wanted to fight this guy. This guy wanted to fight him. They called me. It was a funny call. He's like, what is the one way I could do this? And I say, you need to get a written form of consent. Because consent.
You just got yourself another business, buddy.
And because consent under the law, right, is for an assault purposes, consent, right, is a defense. Okay. And so you can consent, right, to the assaulted conduct. For instance, like football, if you're playing a game of football, you're consenting to the contact, correct? So it's the same thing. And so if you consent, the one thing you can't do, though, is you cannot consent, right, to the use of deadly force. Okay, so it better just be straight fisticuffs. You guys want to fight, you guys need to sign a piece of paper that says you each consent, right, and you know the risks, and you understand that doing so, right, would may result in bodily injury, but otherwise you consent.
So you put on some gloves, right?
Yeah, you put on some gloves, and hey, that's how we used to say it. We put on some boxing gloves and JUCO. Blend bucks. If you're listening, you guys know what I'm talking about. We used to put on the boxing gloves and just handle it.
I like the pugil sticks. Like rifle butt to the head. Man.
And so, yeah.
Hey, what about those weekend marriage licenses? Is that the same thing? You know? Good for Friday night to Sunday night. Sunday morning.
And so, yeah, it's kind of like, what is it, the gray? Shades of Grey?
Fifty Shades of Grey. I know nothing about that.
So you guys got to watch the movie. But you're going to have a problem on non-disclosure, getting it sealed, if you fall under kidnapping, trafficking, sex offenses, assaults, right? Offenses against the family, which is essentially violations of, like, protective orders, things like that, not paying child support, disorderly conduct even, right, which would include a DWI. Public indecency, weapons, and organized crime. So if you fall into those, you're going to have a problem. And you cannot get your record sealed if you're convicted of, if you've got a deferred adjudication for murder, capital murder, trafficking, continuous trafficking, injury to a child or elderly person, abandoning or endangering a child, violation.
Rob, I hate to keep cutting you off, but you talk and you spur my brain full of ideas here. Would it be helpful for you, business-wise, and for the people out there who fall into this category, if they were to go to yours or Rick's websites, and it's a list of, hey, real simple, plain and simple, because I'm as simple, as basic guy as you can get, and I need it simple. You had a felony, you have a misdemeanor, wanting expunge or a pardon, this is what you can do if you got this, forget it if you got this. Call me, and you add it all up. If you have this, call me. If not, call somebody else, okay?
You're getting issues with the state bar and ethics and stuff like that and advertising, which I'm going to avoid at
this
point.
Can I do that? And I get a referral fee?
No, absolutely not. No, okay. I would say absolutely unethical, but I would say at least probably unethical. But
that'd be very helpful. A lot of people would just love that.
Yeah, you can put that on your website. But the reason I don't like doing it is because they change it, right? And there's other ways to go about doing it. It's kind of complicated as well. I would say just call a knowledgeable attorney, right? Tell them your circumstances.
So if I put something, I'm just saying this because I know there's a lot of people who are really gnashing their teeth from stupid mistakes. If I go, look, there is a chance for pardon or expunction. Is that how you say it? Expunction?
Expunction. Yeah, yes, okay. Expunction.
But you got to have certain things in your favor. Call an attorney. There is a possibility you can do it with time, effort, and money if you fall under certain categories. Don't just think that's it, your life's over.
And we've talked about the interest of justice orders for a probation when you actually have a conviction that have the effect of restoring your rights. You can get those, right? That's more in depth. If you got a question about that, email me. I can either answer the question or I'll refer you to somebody who does that all the time. All right, and there is a way to do that. And even if you can't get that order and it's too late, you've already been discharged from your probation and you can't come back and get that order, there is a way to restore some of your rights, and you can file for a restoration of rights.
What about pardon, man? It doesn't matter what you've got. A governor can pardon you. There's got to be a road.
No, there is.
Whether or not they say, screw it, I'm not going to do it, or, okay, I'll do it. But at least there's some procedure that goes straight up to the top.
And that's what I'm saying. And so the number, but when you look at the numbers versus what's granted, I think an adequate explanation of your likelihood would be rare.
I think that's because of lack of knowledge. I think people don't realize that they can do something.
Well, I would say, I'm saying based on the number that are filed, based on those that are granted,
I know where you're coming
it's
from.
Rare. So I'm telling you that don't get somebody just that knows what to do. Get somebody that does that on an everyday kind of basis and can really present your application for a pardon, right, in such a way and get it done. And you don't have to know the governor just to get it done. Right. It's like you said, those times when it's unjust and the benefit of society, the state, the families and employers are going to benefit from getting this pardon, right? A lot of times it'll be granted.
Yeah, I'm talking legit screw-ups, okay? I'm not talking heinous people, repeat offenders. I'm talking a stupid time. There should be some hope for somebody to get themselves clean, you know?
Right.
Now, Ross, short on time here. Unless you got something else you want to wrap up with, I want to talk about next week with you.
I did want to say, let me see here, the... Yeah. So if you're talking about rights, just know that you can get the pardon, the deferred adjudication, get the sealing order, you can get the expunction, you can get the dismissal and discharge, or the interest of justice order done for rights. For records, right, for all records to be, right, taken away, you're going to have to get, right, either not have a conviction or get an acquittal, get a pretrial diversion.
Can you give me a good definition of acquittal? I have an idea. But
acquittal is a not guilty verdict, or you go up on appeal, and you maybe got found guilty, but then you go up on appeal, and the Court of Appeals or Court of Criminal Appeals says, nah, the jury was wrong.
Okay,
we're going to actually reverse and render a judgment of not guilty.
Okay, gotcha.
Okay, and so you're acquitted on appeal, or maybe it was a Fourth Amendment issue, right? And they find on appeal, they reverse it, and the case is dismissed. That's going to be a more arguable thing. But if you're found not guilty, mm-hmm. right, that's going to allow you to get the expunction. If you are pardoned, there's a process for, if you get a pardon, to come back and get your records expunged, right? Don't ask me specifics about that, right? Because I don't do the pardon, so I've never done the expunction.
See, my mental thought process would be the pardon automatically does that.
Okay, and so that's going to say all records. There's not any records, even of arrest, after that point. But you can get some records, right, sealed, right, if you've got a deferred adjudication, right, and you get, right, some kind of petition for non-disclosure, order for non-disclosure of those records, but you're still going to have to admit to maybe the arrest, and you're still going to have some of those records existing. So there's rights, and then there's records. And the only two ways that you can get any records, right, put aside is expunction and sealing. And if you want it totally done away with, you're going to have to get the expunction, which, again, you're not going to be able to take deferred adjudication, right, with some kind of probation. If you get any kind of probation, whether it be after conviction or deferred adjudication.
That's why, ladies and gentlemen,
you cannot get an expunction.
You need to call attorneys who know what they're doing. Attorney Benton Ross Watson here is sharp. Rick Dodge, sharp as tack, man. These guys know what they're doing. Speaking of which, we can't thank Rick Coppolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm enough for sponsoring the program, like so many of the other sponsors, too. Now, Ross, we've got to cut it short here. Let's talk next week. Ladies and gentlemen, I've got a major seminar next Saturday. I will not be here. We are going to put the captain's chair, I guess we want to call it. We're going to the con, and we're going to give it to Ross here. He's going to do a great job. You know, you did it last time, and everybody loved it. Who got any ideas what you're going to do?
No, we'll just have to stay tuned. We'll have some surprises here, man.
Okay. Well, maybe I'll pop a phone call in or two when I got a break and see what's going on. But, ladies and gentlemen, Ross will be running the show next Saturday, the entire show, and I'm sure it's going to be fantastic. And I'm going to ask, please, to support him 110%. Call up. Interact. And I'm telling you, everybody, if you're not paying attention or calling in to these attorneys, you're crazy. I know you know somebody who needs some help, or there's something when it comes to trusts or whatever. These guys know what they're doing, so give them a call. So we want to thank, again, Coppolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm for sponsoring this large segment of the program. Any last words there, Ross, till next week?
No.
All right. Then tell them how to get a hold of you.
Okay, so 105 East Main Street is my office here in Cameron. You can come by and see me, or you can call in for an appointment in Houston, College Station, or Cameron even. That's 254-605-4140. That's 254-605-4140. Right, make sure you leave us a message. Also, we do get emails. That's for some reasons why we talked about the expunction and sealing topics today. But if you do email me, make sure you leave your phone number, because sometimes I can't always get back to you in email. I like to call you. Just make sure you email me at Benton@Watson.legal. That's Benton@Watson.legal.
Sounds great. Ross, thanks. Appreciate it. Joel, let's take a...
Coppolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm focuses on cases involving asbestos exposure, mesothelioma, birth trauma, defective products, and injury and death resulting from car and truck wrecks. Call the tough, experienced injury attorneys at Coppolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron. Call 888-MESO-FIRM or 254-697-4965.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's get face-to-face with Vis-a-Vis Galleria in their warehouse located at 3 Mesquite Avenue in Rogers, Texas. Vis-a-Vis Galleria is a boutique with new apparel and fashion jewelry and features over 20 vendors who populate 5,000 square feet of farmhouse, shabby chic, antique, and vintage furniture and home decor. There's even a booth dedicated to Iron Orchard designs. Patricia Posvar, owner of Vis a Vis Galleria, opens the Galleria Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. until 5:30 and will gladly host a ladies' night out shopping spree at your request. Diana Biednell, an interior decorator and Galleria vendor, will offer complimentary design suggestions for your decorating challenges. Vis a Vis is a go-to destination stop. If you haven't been to Vis a Vis Galleria, go see what you've been missing. For more information, call Vis a Vis Galleria at 254-642-0005 or check them out on Facebook at Vis a Vis Galleria. Mention that you heard this ad and receive 15% off your boutique apparel purchase.
Hi there, my lovelies. Thank you for listening to yet another segment of Tactical Snacking with me, Janae Goodman. Today, I want to feature some seasonal salsas and dips, so let's get snacking. Guacamole is a classic and a simple one, too. All you need is 4 to 6 fresh avocados, 2 small ripe tomatoes, 1 small minced yellow onion or red onion, 1 to 2 bunches of chopped cilantro, lime juice, and salt and pepper to taste. Mash all your ingredients together and serve with tortilla chips or aside your dishes. This goes perfectly alongside roasted red salsa, and as with all the recipes I share with you, it's a tried and true favorite of mine. So this recipe only needs oil for coating, 8 Roman tomatoes, 2 sweet Texas yellow onions, 5 to 10 serrano or jalapeno peppers, 6 cloves of garlic, a bunch of cilantro with the stems removed, and 2 teaspoons of salt. Preheat your oven to about 400 degrees. Half your onions and tomatoes. If you plan on seeding your peppers, half those as well. In a large bowl, toss your tomatoes, onions, and peppers with enough oil to coat them and season with just a bit of salt. Spread your tomatoes, onions, peppers, and garlic out onto a sheet tray and roast until they're charred and soft, about 40 to 45 minutes. Once your vegetables have cooled, toss them in a food processor or blender along with 2 teaspoons of salt and your cilantro. Pulse until they're thoroughly combined. You can refrigerate your salsa until ready for use. Serve this with your choice protein and a corn or flour tortilla and spice it up with cilantro, sliced radish, onion, and a squeeze of lime. No party is complete without cheese dip, so to make your own, you can take a can of Rotel or roasted tomatoes and chilies and add them into a crock pot with 8 ounces of sharp cheddar or your favorite cheese blend. Add in a tablespoon of cornstarch and a 12-ounce can of evaporated milk. If you're not up for making your own cheese sauce, you can use a block of melting cheese and a can of evaporated milk instead. Melt it all together over high, stirring occasionally. If you're doing this by stovetop, heat your cheese and milk over medium heat instead and stir occasionally. Bump it up a notch by adding in ground cooked breakfast sausage, or for a Texas kick, you can add in chorizo, as suggested by Crystal Johnson from Houston, Texas. If you want a refreshing new spin on salsa, give this pomegranate mango salsa a go. This pairs well with fish and beef fajita tacos. In a medium bowl, you'll want to toss 1 cup of pomegranate seeds, 1 diced ripe mango, lime juice, and the zest of 1 lime. In a medium bowl, you'll want to toss 1 cup of pomegranate seeds, 1 diced ripe mango, lime juice, and the zest of 1 lime, half a bunch of cilantro, half a teaspoon of salt, 1/4 of a teaspoon of pepper, 1/4 of a diced medium red onion, and 1 seeded and minced jalapeno. This salsa will make your tongue tango for more, and it's sure to brighten your day. And don't be afraid to throw in some diced avocado if you're feeling it. Spinach artichoke dip goes great with crackers or chips. For this dip, mix together 1 cup of real mayo, not Miracle Whip, 8 ounces of softened cream cheese, half a cup of Parmesan cheese, 10 ounces of boxed frozen chopped spinach, 1 14-ounce can of artichoke hearts, and half a teaspoon each of garlic salt and ground pepper. Make sure your artichokes and spinach are fully drained of water before adding them to your bowl of ingredients. Mix thoroughly and heat in a microwave-safe bowl or in an oven-safe dish at 375 degrees until the top is lightly golden. If you want to get fancy, serve your dip in a bread bowl. You can make your own by hollowing out a round loaf of French bread. Toasting your bread is completely optional. Tzatziki is a cool summertime favorite here in Texas. Traditionally, it's drenched all over gyros, which are Mediterranean pita bread wraps that are filled with pork, lamb, beef, or chicken, and finished with lettuce and tomato. We all know that Texans aren't always the most traditional people, so I'll share this recipe with you so that you can drench it all over whatever you want. You'll want to stir together the following. 1 cup of plain yogurt, 1 cucumber, seeded and finely grated, 2 cloves of finely minced or grated garlic, lemon juice and the lemon zest of 1 lemon, 2 tablespoons of finely chopped dill, 1 teaspoon of finely chopped mint, a small squeeze of honey, about half a teaspoon, and salt and pepper to taste. If you missed out on last week's Summer Bites, be sure to stop by the homepage of thecultivatedclassroom.com, where I feature refreshing drinks and recipes to keep you cool for the summer. As always, drop me a line at tacticalsnacking@yahoo.com if you have culinary questions or ideas that you'd like me to feature on the show. If you're still craving more, be sure to join me next week, where I've got plenty more for us to dip into. But until next time, stay hungry, my friends.
It is now time for the master of manners, the communicator of common sense, and the epitome of encyclopedia, Officer Randy Dixon, the voice of law enforcement.
Hey, good morning, everybody. I hope you're having a wonderful Saturday. Here it is, the 13th day of July. Can you believe this year's 7 months almost down? And the good news is we only have 5 more months, about 4 months before Thanksgiving and 5 months before Christmas, and good old IRS time to file your taxes. You know, today, I know that a lot of discussion has already taken place about, you know, some of the new laws concerning knives and carrying knives and things of that nature. And kind of, I'll expand on that a little bit and talk about, you know, sure, you can do something, but by doing something, is that always the right thing to do? And, you know, I said last week that I was going to start every week's show off with some kind of a quote or a story out of the book, Let's Make the Day Count by Charlie Daniels, which really goes into what we're talking about today. The title of this one is Questionable Choices. Discretion will protect you and understanding will guard you. That's out of Proverbs 2:11. And as he said, I can remember when I decided to take a hit off a cigarette when the other kids were passing around. And I remember trying to learn how to inhale the smoke by pulling tiny puffs down my throat. I was coughing and sputtering, but was not giving up until my lungs would allow me to hold down a whole puff. I knew it was the wrong thing to do, but right then, with those few pulls off the cigarettes, I made a bad choice that would lead to an addiction to tobacco, a habit I would be afflicted with for 15 years, he says. Almost all of the detrimental things I've ever gotten involved in started with baby steps. Little, seemingly insignificant choices can bloom into full-blown problems unless you make a conscious and committed effort to nip them in the bud. Remember old Barney, nip them in the bud. Bad choices come with consequences. And as so many have said, in moments times, I went again against that little voice that was inside of me to make the wrong choice. Lies, fights, taking advantage of a weaker person, and many other things I've done that I'm not proud of, all ended with me paying a price in pain, regret, and worst of all, remorse. Not to mention all the other more tangible penalties that I've had to pay in my life. Taking the time to consider long-term ramifications can save you a lot of future heartaches. Listen to the little voice inside of you. It won't steer you wrong. Choices are like crossroads. Once you pick a path, you have to go down it for a ways before you can turn around and change directions. Now, what does that have to do with what we're talking about today? Well, if you kept up with the news this past week, you saw in Temple, for instance, there were 2 incidents just in a 7-day period of a gentleman or people carrying machetes down the street. I'm going to read one to you. It said a man allegedly running around carrying a machete was detained a little before noon Wednesday near the Ralph Wilson Youth Club, which is in Temple. The youth club was placed on a hard lockdown until the man's capture. No one was injured. It was unknown at first why the officers took the man into custody, since carrying a machete is not against the law. Several people on the Telegram Facebook page said the man had previously, for the past few weeks, walked around nonchalantly with a machete in his hand. Weems, who is the spokesman for the Temple Police Department, described what reportedly led to the man's arrest. A call came in to the police department at 10:50 a.m. about a man trespassing in an empty apartment complex around the 1300 block of South 23rd Street. Officers saw the man who had a machete. He dropped the machete and ran, according to witnesses. When he was caught, he was arrested and charged with allegedly criminally trespass and evading arrest. You notice there's no weapon charge in there. The man's identity was not verified by the police. A law went into effect September 2017 that allows adults in Texas to carry knives with blades longer than 5.5 inches, and that includes daggers, spears, and machetes. Now, let me ask you this, folks. Just because you can, does that mean you should? And that's kind of what we're going to talk a little bit about today. You know, there's a lot of things that we do in our lifetime. There's a lot of things that we can do that we shouldn't do. There's a lot of things that we shouldn't do that we can do. You know, when you look at some common sense, and that's what this all boils down to, every bit of this is common sense. And, you know, a police officer, and I'm going to tell you from the perspective of a police officer, you take me, and I'm a one-man patrol unit. I'll walk up on a man that's got a machete in his hand. You know, there is a rule in law enforcement. You never get within 21 feet of a person that has a weapon, a knife, a blade, or anything that's an edged weapon in within their distance. That is what is taught in most police academies. That's what is taught on most training. 21 feet. Now, think about that. That's 7 yards. So how are you going to communicate? How are you going to get someone compliant when you have to stay 7 yards away from them? And I'm going to tell you, there's not a police officer, not a single solitary police officer, that if he has a confrontation or he has to talk to someone that is carrying a machete or a bowie knife or something of that nature, which is legal, that he's not going to be on edge. And I will guarantee you, if that officer has any common sense at all, number one, if it is a volatile situation, or if it's a reported crime situation, or even if it's just a stopping, and I hate to use the word frisk, because most time it's not a frisk, but a stop situation, that police officer is going to be on guard, and yes, he may have his gun out, and he may have his hand on his gun. You say, well, why would he want to do that? Why would the officer be prepared? Folks, most police shootings happen within a fraction of a second. You don't have time. You know, after a shooting takes place, lawyers, judges, people who judge and who don't have the right to judge take hours, days, months, years to decide what that officer did, whether it was right or wrong. That decision that officer made was in the flash of a second. A flash of a second. Had he not made that decision and that person decided to attack him, what would have happened then? Are we going to say that the officer should have reacted? He should have done something? It's a catch-22 situation. Now, I'm not taking a side of anything. I know I just read an article by the American Civil Liberties Union about police brutality and about police actions, about police overreacting. Well, folks, you know, maybe I'm overreacting. Who knows? But I know one thing. You know, I've got children. I've got grandchildren. I personally want to see them at nighttime. So if I'm a police officer and I'm out here on the street and I come across what the police officers in Temple did last week when a man carried a machete, you're caught and picking right. I'm going to be ready for it. I'm going to be ready that if I have to defend my life, that's going to take place. Now, what is compliance? Well, we know about compliance. We hear what the laws say about compliance. Well, compliance is simply doing what the police officer tells you to do. Now, this is a double-edged sword, once again, pardon the pun. Here we've got a police officer who is out here in a second and maybe have to make a choice in a fraction of a second to use the most deadly of force possible. And, folks, I'm here to tell you, I get so sick of people. I get really, really irritated when I hear people say, well, why didn't they shoot him in the arm? Or why didn't they shoot him in the leg? Folks, that's not the way this works. If you as a police officer, or me as a police officer, have enough possibilities, enough reasoning, and enough good, clear mindset that somebody's going to injure you, you're only thinking about one thing, stopping that risk, stopping that flight. We don't tell our U.S. soldiers, our Army, well, go out there and find some Al-Qaeda member or some ISIS member and just shoot him in the leg. No, we don't. You can't expect law enforcement to do the same thing. And, yeah, I get a little irritated. I do. I get very irritated when I'm in conversations with people that say, well, they shouldn't have shot him. You weren't there. You don't know what the circumstances are. Sure, you may see something on television that shows a body cam. Well, unfortunately, and if you're not smart enough to know this, you need to know it right now. Most of the body cams that you see on TV are a fraction of a second of minutes and hours of body cam. A situation such as happened in Temple last week, that particular incident started at one time and ended at one time. It was not a 2 second or a 4 second what they can show on TV spot. So what I'm telling you is this, folks. If you're making the choice, if you're going to make the decision that you want to carry a double-edged sword, a machete, or if you want to walk down the middle of whatever road you're on with a spear going, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, when you're carrying that spear, you better be prepared that if somebody calls in, somebody reports it to the police, a police officer is going to have to come out. Now, does that mean he's going to arrest that person? Absolutely not, because the law says you can carry it. But when someone calls in to report something, the police have to respond. And the action of that police officer sometimes is indefensible. I'll be the first to admit that. There are situations, and we know of one that happened many, many years ago, where someone was carrying a semi-automatic weapon. There's ways to handle it, and there's ways not to handle it, folks. Sometimes police officers make grave mistakes, and I'll be the first to admit it. This year alone, just this year, well, I think 1 week, week before last, there were 7 police officers in 1 week killed in this country. 7. And we're not talking about officers that died from heart attacks or from car accidents. This was violent crimes where they either shot or stabbed. So, folks, you know, it's a reaction. If you're carrying a weapon, if you're going to make the conscious choice to strap a Bowie knife to your hip and walk down the middle of whatever street it may be, you surely have that right. But if you're confronted by a law enforcement officer who has a lawful legal right to confront you, and he asks you to do something, number one, keep your hands away from that weapon. If he asks you to put that weapon on the ground, what does it hurt? Take it off. Put it on the ground. I don't think he'll ask you to do that because of the dangers involved by pulling that weapon out. And, you know, the officer, for his own safety, he may decide to handcuff you. If he does, and he does it wrong, you've got legal ramifications. You've got Ross to call. But thing is, folks, that is not the place on the side of the road to hold court. Court is in the courtroom. It's not on the street. So, folks, if you're carrying a double-edged weapon, if you're carrying a U.S. cavalry sword strapped to your side and you're walking down the street with it, that's perfectly legal. But if you start pulling that sword out and start wielding it around, it puts fear in somebody's mind. That's a very, very fine line, very fine line of whether it's legal or not. Now, the other thing is, if you're going to decide to carry a weapon, such as a switchblade or a knife, you make sure that you're carrying in an area where you lawfully can carry that. There are some areas that you can't. There's some restricted areas, of course. Everybody knows courthouse and government buildings. But in and around schools, now you say, well, I'm not going to carry it into the school. The school grounds is part of the school, folks. The private road that goes in front of the school, that is not a public road. That is a private road. So if you've got a knife strapped to your hip and you walk down that little driveway to that school, you have violated the Texas laws. So be aware of that. You know, you can carry them in your home, your vehicles, your boats all day long. Also, you also need to know the laws about letting your children carry. If someone is under the age of 18, they're not considered the act of decision-making. 17 in Texas is a lawful adult. Under the laws, if they're under 18, they cannot carry any blades that have a short or longer blade than 5.5 inches. And I'm sure that they've discussed that this morning already. And I apologize, I didn't get to hear that because I'm down in the great city of Austin right now, which traffic is horrendous today. So if you're coming to Austin, I don't know why, but just be careful. You know, bladed tools like knives and machetes are obviously capable of inflicting serious wounds on people. But they're also many times a necessary activity for outdoor activity. You know, everybody's going to carry a pocket knife or a small pocket knife sometime in their life. I've got the knives that my dad passed down to me still. You know, just understand that when you do something, there's always a consequence. Like Charlie Daniels said, make sure that you carry a weapon. Make sure you carry it for the right reason. Make sure you're not carrying it just to impress and show. We all can do that. It's the same as carrying a gun. If you're going to make the conscious effort to get your license and carry a weapon, open carry, then feel free to. You know, I recently had a friend of mine who's working in Missouri. Missouri is a open carry without a license state. So is now Kentucky. So a lot of the laws are changing around the United States. Just understand that, you know, the Second Amendment gives us that right. And I will never question the Second Amendment. But you also have to understand that these weapons can inflict serious traumatic damage and injury. So if you're confronted by a police officer, all I'm asking you to do, folks, is use common sense, keep your hands where they can be seen, and the chances of any kind of negative contact with law enforcement will not happen, I promise you. So with that being said, folks, I hope you have a wonderful, absolutely glorious weekend. Enjoy this nice, cool air we've got, because next week it's going to be triple digits, according to the weatherman. Be safe, everybody, and God bless you.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's get face-to-face with Vis-a-Vis Galleria in their warehouse located at 3 Mesquite Avenue in Rogers, Texas. Vis-a-Vis Galleria is a boutique with new apparel and fashion jewelry and features over 20 vendors who populate 5,000 square feet of farmhouse, shabby chic, antique, and vintage furniture and home decor. There's even a booth dedicated to Iron Orchard designs. Patricia Posvar, owner of Vis-a-Vis Galleria, opens the Galleria Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. until 5:30 and will gladly host a ladies' night out shopping spree at your request. Diana Biednell, an interior decorator and Galleria vendor, will offer complimentary design suggestions for your decorating challenges. Vis-a-Vis is a go-to destination stop. If you haven't been to Vis-a-Vis Galleria, go see what you've been missing. For more information, call Vis-a-Vis Galleria at 254-642-0005 or check them out on Facebook at Vis-a-Vis Galleria. Mention that you heard this ad and receive 15% off your boutique apparel purchase.
Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron prides themselves on service, resourcefulness, knowledge of the law, and attention to detail. So if you or a loved one has been injured by someone else's negligence, they can help. Call 888-637-6347 for help today from Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm. Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm will work as hard for your family as you do. Call 800-460-0606 for Capilino Dodd Krebs.
It's a trust as true as Texas. A friend with a helping hand. When you want to ensure the good things in life, trust Germania.
Is your insurance company taking too big a bite out of your apple? When you're shopping for property insurance, think about coverage, service, and price. Make sure you're getting the most for your money. When you compare apples to apples, you'll see that Germania Insurance delivers outstanding value. Competitive rates, flexible payment options, and discounts. Plus, Germania offers 24/7 customer claim service. Trusted by Texans since 1896. Don't give up service or sacrifice coverage. Compare apples to apples, then choose the outstanding value offered by Germania Insurance.
So when you want to insure the good things in life, trust Germania.
Call 697-4683 for Sharon Ruback, representative of Ruback Insurance and Germania Farm Mutual Companies.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cabinet Radio Program, July 13th, 2019, and we're here live again for the next 24 minutes. I wanted to give you a couple of bits of information here before we move on to the next segment here. Next Friday is Ladies' Night. Actually, let me go in chronological order. Every second Friday of the month at Aaron's is going to be our round robin competition. Now, we started it back up on 4th of July just for obvious reasons. Wanted to have a bang when we did it. Okay, but starting on August 9th, which will be the second Friday in August, will be the next round robin. So if you don't know what it's all about, go to aaronsgunshop.com, go to the YouTube channel, check out some videos on it, go to the website aaronsgunshop.com and click on the link when it comes to the competition and know the rules. It's a great way to enhance your skills, to learn how to shoot under stress, to learn how to shoot different types of weapons. And if you do well enough, you might win a gun. Who knows? So it's a lot of fun. Check it out. Spread the word. Tell everybody you know. Do me a favor. Go out there on social media. Let's take advantage of it. Spread the word about the round robin competition. Also, I do license to carry classes, so on and so forth. I got seminars. So if you got groups of five or more and you want to do things like that, give me a call. We can set something up specifically for you. Now, I've got a new segment. When we came back on the air, I started a new segment, and it's called Words of Wisdom, Quotes, and Memes. It's because I do a lot of studying. I do a lot of reading for prepping of this show and come across a lot of information. So I thought, you know, why not combine all this stuff? There's so much good stuff out there, wisdom and history and all that. Let's put it together here. So we've got it called Words of Wisdom, Quotes, and Memes. And I tell you what, Kincaid, let's play the opener for it. We'll be doing this a few more times. Just to remind everybody and tell everybody what's going on. But let's start off with the opener, and then I'll read the quotes that we have for this week.
Aaron's High Cap Adventure presents Words of Wisdom, Quotes, and Memes.
All right, everybody. Words of Wisdom, Quotes, and Memes. This week, I got quotes from Thomas Jefferson. You remember him, don't you? I've got, actually, how many quotes do I have here? I have four quotes. I was going to do three, but there was a fourth one that I wanted to link it to a couple of newspaper articles to give an example of what he means. But the first quote is this. Do you want to know who you are? Don't ask. Act. Action will determine and define you. That's quote number one. Quote number two. I predict future happiness for Americans if they can prevent the government from wasting the labors of the people under the pretense of taking care of them. You ever seen that poster? We're from the government. We're here to help you. I think that's kind of what he's talking about. Quote number three. The most valuable of all talents is that of never using two words when one will do. That's why I like to text and not talk on the phone. How many times have you had a conversation with somebody and you heard the same thing 3, 4, 5 times over? Radio's a little different because you got people coming in all the time, so you got to reiterate what you're saying. But when you're in a conversation on a one-to-one basis and you heard it 5 times already, the quote, the most valuable of all talents is that of never using two words when one will do. Now, the fourth quote. The man who reads nothing at all is better educated than the man who reads nothing but newspapers. Back then, they were having problems with fake news, okay? So I'm going to refer to you to a couple of articles here, and it kind of irritated me. People around here in Temple and Cameron, you probably saw the paper, and it had a headline reading, Machete-wielding man detained near Ralph Wilson Youth Club. And then there was a follow-up article. Well, let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. This headline makes it sound like this guy is running around wielding a machete in a scary manner. First of all, it's legal to carry a sword, knife, dagger, whatever, and, you know, longer than 5 inches based on the last change of the laws that we had. This guy got arrested because he was trespassing. That's all it was. He was carrying the machete, and then he saw the police come, and he threw the machete down. And he ran. And in the later article, it basically says he got arrested for trespassing and that's it. No other charges were brought up to him. But to sell papers, to make it riveting, to make it sway public opinion, machete-wielding man detained near Ralph Wilson Youth Club. And then once they figured out what it was, now the headline reads, police ID'd teen who carried machete near youth club. Big difference in the headline. So when Jefferson makes his quote, the man who reads nothing at all is better educated than the man who reads nothing but newspapers, it kind of fits, okay? So there you go. That's, what's that?
They say, man, he was 17.
He was 17. Okay. He's supposed to be 18, whatever. But he still wasn't wielding a machete. Thank you for that input. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was Words of Wisdom, Quotes and Memes. Now we're going to go to our product spotlight, sponsored by ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer. Arch Kuntz is the owner, great guy. You know, you've been hearing me talking about him for years now. I've known him for years. He's consistently generous, nice, kind, friendly. He's got a great staff, Clint, Mike, and Dennis. They got pistols, rifles, shotgun, knives, ammo, accessories, reloading equipment, the works. And what we're doing today is the Ruger Mark IV 2245 Light. And they're located in Heidenhammer, I'm sure you all know. But the number, if you want to make contact with them, is 254-983-4417. And by all means, while you're listening to me now, go to aaronsgunshop.com, go to the Facebook page and look at the short video. You get to see the gun. All right, it looks really secret agent type of gun. But I got this review from shootingsportsusa.org. I dissected the article just to get to the meat and potatoes of it. And let me read to you what they have to say in review when it comes to this firearm. When the Ruger Mark IV 2245 Light, and the reason it's 2245, it's a 22 caliber, and the grip is designed like a 1911 45. That's where it comes from. And light, it's lightweight. Aired for review, my mouth began to water. The first impression is difficult to describe. It appears to be a little bit less German than the traditional 2245 in appearance, but the family resemblance remains. The grip was the familiar, comfortable 1911 style, which helps make these pistols so very popular. The ambidextrous thumb safety sat in the normal position. There's a bolt stop release on the left side of the gun between the trigger and the grip panel, and the magazine release is in the traditional position. The safety, magazine release, and bolt stop release are large enough to use effectively and easily. The size is just right on all these controls. The Ruger Mark IV 2245 Light comes with a factory-installed rail that makes mounting and optic easy. The rear sight is fully adjustable if iron sights are the preference. The Ruger has a threaded barrel. The barrel and receiver assembly are skeletonized from the trigger guard forward. I found the width of the trigger to be very noticeable. I usually prefer a narrow trigger, but the curve of this trigger made it very comfortable. And I know what he's talking about. It makes the pad of your finger rest on the trigger better without it kind of biting into your finger. While I own a couple of single-action Ruger revolvers that have killed more snakes, rats, mice, and other vermin around the farm than could fit a grain wagon, I have never owned a Ruger semi-automatic. The difficult-to-clean reputation on these guns was a big factor in staying away, but Ruger has fixed this issue nicely. Amen to that. At the rear of the barrel receiver is a button that releases the barrel from the frame, and the bolt then slides out nicely. Way different than the original design. The gun comes apart and goes back together easily. I was able to get this pistol taken apart and back together without the owner's manual or a YouTube video. The first big hurdle with this pistol has been cleared. Ruger has done a fantastic job of making this gun easy to clean and maintain. We wanted to test a variety of ammo in the gun, and the gun was plenty dirty after firing it more than 400 rounds in practice. We fired two full magazines through the gun with CCI mini mags, Remington Golden Boy, Remington Thunderbolt, CCI Standard Velocity, and Federal 40 grain. All these different ammunition types fired without any malfunction. That's good to know. I was just having this conversation with somebody else. If I'm going to have a firearm and it can't shoot anything and digest any type of ammo, I'm not going to carry it. I got to have a firearm that will eat just about anything I put in it, okay? My initial concerns of ease of cleaning and reliability on the range have been calmed by the live fire testing. The gun ran very well, and it performed at a level that a shooter could be very competitive in Steel Challenge. This gun would be great for plinking as well. The grip is small enough that young hands could reach the trigger and be fundamentally sound shooting this pistol. As the name implies, the gun does not weigh very much, weighing in at a trim 1.5 pounds, and therefore is well suited for younger shooters. I can recommend this gun without reservation. If you are searching for a 22 long rifle pistol that is fun to shoot, accurate, at speed, stylish without being flashy, then the Ruger Mark IV 2245 Light is for you. My search for a new 22 LR pistol is over. And that was written by Aaron Bright. And it was on shootingsportsusa.org. So if you want to read the whole article, go there to check it out. Go to ANC Firearms in Heidenheimer. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, I have sponsors who trust me and are confident in my ability, and they support this radio program. Without them, I cannot be on the air. I need you, the listener, to support the sponsors. It's a circle of life, okay? You support them, they support me. I put out information that's hopefully good. I believe it is, and I hope it's good. So support the sponsors who support the program. Kincaid, let's take a break. And when we come back, we're going to have the ladies from Vis-a-Vis and Rogers. We're going to have Pat Bozar, and we're going to have Diana Bidnell coming in and talking all about Vis-a-Vis in Rogers, Texas. See you on the other side.
Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenheimer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenheimer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
Power. Sometimes you just need more. But what do you do when that yard equipment needs more or just isn't working like it used to? The answer is Cameron's Bald Engine, formerly Cameron Seed Company. For friendly service and quantity work, stop it at 408 West Bath. They provide all your outdoor power equipment needs. Check out their selection of Echo, Snapper, and Zero Turn Big Dog Mowers. Power through the summer with Cameron's Bald Engine. Call 254-697-3455. Or stop in at 408 West Bath.
Cabellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron focuses on cases involving personal injury litigation, including asbestos exposure and mesothelioma. At Cabellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm, you are never treated like a number. Cases are accepted on a contingency basis, so clients do not have to pay out of their pocket. Contact Cabellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron today. Call 888-MESO-FIRM.
Hi, I'm Jason Donovan from Edco Development in Cameron. Okay, so one of those bargain home improvement workers hurt himself on the job. Who pays? You do, because his low prices don't include insurance for problems like that. So you think you got a bargain? Wrong answer. So why take chances? Edco Development has been there for you since 1984. Remodeling, new construction, roofing, and more. Call us first. We're Edco Development. 254-697-2186. 697-2186.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's get face-to-face with Vis-a-Vis Galleria in their warehouse located at 3 Mesquite Avenue in Rogers, Texas. Vis-a-Vis Galleria is a boutique with new apparel and fashion jewelry and features over 20 vendors who populate 5,000 square feet of farmhouse, shabby chic, antique, and vintage furniture and home decor. There's even a booth dedicated to Iron Orchard designs. Patricia Posvar, owner of Vis-a-Vis Galleria, opens the Galleria Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. until 5:30 and will gladly host a ladies' night out shopping spree at your request. Diana Bidnell, an interior decorator and Galleria vendor, will offer complimentary design suggestions for your decorating challenges. Vis-a-Vis is a go-to destination stop. If you haven't been to Vis-a-Vis Galleria, go see what you've been missing. For more information, call Vis-a-Vis Galleria at 254-642-0005 or check them out on Facebook at Vis-a-Vis Galleria. Mention that you heard this ad and receive 15% off your boutique apparel purchase.
everybody. We are back. July 13th, 2019. Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. We've got about 24 minutes to go. And sitting in front of me are lovely ladies, Pat Postvar and Diane Biednell from Vis-a-Vis in Rogers, Texas. And there are new sponsors. Can't thank them enough for helping out the program. I'll tell you what, when you sponsor this program, that means you got faith in me and I can't let you down, okay? I got to do my best because you're counting on me and we're helping each other out. Remember, it's a circle of life. For all the sponsors who keep the program on the air, I can't do it without you, the listening audience, supporting them. You support them, they support me. Circle of life, it keeps going. Ladies, welcome to the program. How y'all doing?
Thank you. Great.
Doing great.
It's the first time on radio, right?
Yes.
And man, we were talking and you guys are just naturals at it. I got you on here because I wanted to tell everybody, I wanted everybody to get to hear what I get to see all the time when I go into your shop. Vis-a-vis, I'll tell you what, first of all, Pat, explain what Vis-a-vis means. I know what it means, but tell everybody what Vis-a-vis means and where the name came from. And how do you look it up on Facebook and how do you spell it?
Okay. Vis-a-vis, it's a French name. And one of the meanings is face-to-face. And that's what I chose to relate to my customers. We're face-to-face with you. And it's spelled V-I-S-A with a little diacritical mark, dash V-I-S. And in French, after the last consonant, everything else is dropped. So that's why it says vis-a-vis, and not vis-a-vis.
And how would they go to look you up right now if they wanted to do that while they're listening to us?
Facebook? We're on Facebook. It's Vis-a-vis Galleria. And as I spelled it, V-I-S-A-V-I-S.
I'll tell you what, everybody. If you want to do it now, probably a quicker way to find it, just go to aaronsgunshop.com, because if you're probably listening to me via the internet or whatever, just go to my radio page. And you'll see all the sponsors there, and you're going to see Vis-a-vis link. Just click on the link, and it'll send you right over there, okay? That's probably the quick way to do it. And then once you do that, you can figure out how to do it from other sources, okay? Tell everybody what it is in a nutshell, what the store is real quick, and then let's talk about who you are and how you got involved with this. But let's let the audience know what it is actually Vis-a-vis is real quick, and we'll get to the details later.
It's a unique shopping experience. We have over 20 vendors in the store. We have new boutique clothing and jewelry. And then we carry farmhouse. We carry repurposed furniture. We have antiques. We're not an antique store per se, but we do have antiques in the store.
Would it be accurate to say if somebody was to go in that store, they could say, oh, I didn't even think of this. This is pretty cool. This is a niche gift, Right? Okay, so we're going to get into details about that. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, for guys and gals, guys, when you're with your wives and they're dragging you into the store, there's going to be something for you too. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But I'll tell you what, first, let's tell everybody about yourselves, a little quick bio on who you are, how you got this thing started. Pat and Diane, go ahead.
Okay, I grew up in Temple, and then I married my husband that was from Temple, and then he joined the Air Force, and we were gone for 30 years. And I saw all kinds of neat I was able to experience all kinds of neat items. And then we came back and we settled in our home in Salado. And I was in a booth in Salado for a while. And then I saw this building in Rogers come up available. And I thought, this is really a need for a place here to do some neat things and to help grow Rogers and to help vendors that are coming into the store.
You know, it's interesting. Don't hold this against me, everybody, but I think you all know I'm originally from New York. Mm-hmm. And I'm 15 minutes away from where Franklin Delano Roosevelt lived in Hyde Park. Hyde Park is the antique capital of the world, okay? There's just incredible stuff there. What's happening here is in Rogers, it's becoming like the go-to place, and Vis-a-Vis is one of those places that is developing and growing and building into a place you can go and say, oh, wow, this is great. Didn't see this. What about this? And they got connections, okay? So it's a really interesting place. And if you all been to Round Top, you know what you can get there. This is developing into that. I see it. And with everybody's participation, it can grow into another Round Top. I think you guys are doing a great job. Diana, what about you?
Yes, I'm a decorator by trade. I used to have a store in Salida called Horse Feathers. And so over at Vis-a-Vis, I have some booths, and I mostly do decor-type items and items for men. And we also offer a service where a person can bring in pictures of a certain area that they need redone, and we can give them a complimentary 15-minute help with that, but they do need to make an appointment for that. So I see us that growing into a bigger business, and from that business then selling more of the furniture and the decor items.
You know, I would liken you to somebody who can see a shirt on a hanger in a store and say, "Oh my gosh, what a beautiful shirt," as compared to me looking at it, saying, it looks like a box. So you need the creativity of persons like you to help open the minds of people like me. And from your history, from what I've heard about, you go back a long ways and have done this a long time and really know the ins and outs of it. And it shows in the buildings that you guys have and the way you lay things out. It's very interesting. And what does this have to do with a gun show? It has to do with everything about a gun show, because there's so many different things that intertwine with what these ladies do and what I do. It's interesting. It's historical. It's antique-ish. It's different. It fits a niche. Different guns fit different niches. Well, these ladies got things that fit different niches when it comes to gifts and decor. So I got my cheat sheet here, and we're going to read some things off of here so we don't miss any points, because I want everybody to know. The location exactly is in Rogers. What's the address? Why don't you tell everybody the address so that they can plug it into their phones, and then give them the phone number that they can call as well.
It's 3 West Mesquite Avenue in Rogers. There's only one traffic light in Rogers, and if you're coming from the Cameron area, it's on the left side after the traffic light.
And the cop is usually down at the base of the hill.
Right. And our phone number is 254-642-0005.
Now, if you want to call into the show and ask a couple questions, the number is 254-697-6633. Now, you've got also, tell them about the building, because I remember there's a whole bunch of shelled out buildings there, and all of a sudden the strip is becoming different. It's becoming cool. It's cleaned up. It's very interesting. Like, wow, what's going on? I want one of those, you know?
Well, the building was originally built in about the 1890s, right around in there, and the original owner was T.T. Moore. At that time, he was one of the richest men in the state of Texas. Until the Depression hit. And he was a commodities trader. And when I bought the building, it was truly just a shell. It had a good roof and good side walls. And then we put in the air conditioner, the heating system. We preserved the walls that are in there, which are stone and brick. On one side is stone, on the other side is brick. And so we tried to keep the integrity of the building the same. Put a restroom in there for our customers that...
Thank you, by the way.
Yes, put a restroom in there, because we've got a lot of people stopping from Houston or going through, and they once they find us, once they stop in us, we become their destination place going into Temple or going on off of 36 somewhere else. And so the building is very old.
I'll tell you what, just to give you an idea, for all you people who are familiar with ANC Firearms, the bank down in Heidenhammer, at the only blinking light in Heidenhammer, you guys got something in common. You see the plaster falling off, and he left it like that on purpose so you can see the brick. It gives it that old look, the wooden oak wood floors, the creakiness when you walk it. You kind of get the same ambiance when you go into vis-a-vis, except I think you got a hard concrete floor.
Right, because originally it was a dirt floor.
Dirt floor, yeah, that's not good. So dirt wouldn't be good on all the stuff you want to buy. So they got the concrete floor, but they got the beautiful stone walls, the rafters in the ceiling. It's really a neat place to look at. And in it, you've got how many vendors now?
We have over 20 vendors in there right now.
And you could have a lot more, but they're on a waiting list, right?
Right. Our waiting list is about 10 deep right now. Nobody's looking at leaving, so that's good news. Yeah.
Why don't you give an idea of the things that are available there, the different styles or different types of booths that may be there? Because I go there all the time, and I'm always finding something interesting.
Okay, we have a lot of shabby chic furniture and home decor, rustic. And shabby chic is really distressed. It's painted white and distressed a bit. We have upcycle.
Let's be clear on something, because I used to build furniture and build distressed furniture, but in wood tones. So shabby chic is specifically white in color?
Yes.
Because I didn't know what that was.
White or antique white. Cream. Mm-hmm.
So another, we were having this conversation before the show. We're saying, so somebody who's got this old furniture in white and is sick and tired of looking at it is somebody's dream furniture for when they're updating their house. And so the people who got the old furniture want the people's new furniture. It's weird. Grass is always green on the other side, but they got it shabby chic. And then you got rustic.
We have a lot of rustic. We have one vendor that
does. What's the difference between rustic and farmhouse?
Rustic is a lot older than farmhouse, and it's not as, I guess, pristine.
And it can be a different style, too.
Okay.
You can have rustic things for our men, but the shabby chic is usually things that more that women like.
More feminine, okay. Mm-hmm. And as compared to antiques, it could be anything of a certain vintage age, right?
Right.
Okay. Now, I was asking about the services. We're talking about the products, and we said about vendors, but I want to make sure everybody understands what you do for services, because that's a great benefit to people who are not as creative when it comes to decorating, but you have the brains for it and the design and the history and the experience. And why don't you tell me about the kind of services you provide in depth and what you can do for them? I know you mentioned it before, but let's get a little bit more detailed.
Yes. What we'd like to do is try to help people with their homes or their businesses, and to give them a little introduction. And if they just need a small area done, they can bring in pictures if they choose, and we can sit down with them and give them ideas and show them different items and things that would work for that. And then we also can come to their home or their business and do as much or little as they want done.
Are you able to maybe go past the 15 minutes as to what it would entail, or is that difficult to do on the radio?
We could go longer than that, as long as we know in advance where we can book that time out for them.
Okay, so it's basically, hey, you know, if you like what I say in the first 15 minutes, we can talk about future,
sure.
And then that's where
you bet
your services are provided. Okay.
Yes.
Pat, now, your services are providing a place for vendors, and the services that, it's like two separate things. You're working the vendor side of it, whereas Diana's one of the vendors, but she provides a service of decorating and all that, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Now, we're talking about expansion. You had your building that you got initially, but things, product kept coming in and coming in, and you got to cycle it through, and you got like an overflow building. Why don't you talk about that too?
Originally, our building is about 3,600 square feet, and we were doing very well in that spot. And then Diana bought the next building, and it just evolved that we were selling things out of vis-a-vis the main building, 3 West Mesquite, and then we'd have to wait to bring something else in. And so we just thought there'd be a better idea is to take Diana's new building that she just finished redecorating and just stage over there. So once we sold something out of 3 West Mesquite, we could just pull it from next door. And then everybody's saying, what's going on next door? And I would say, well, I can open it up and show you. And then after, and it was just gorgeous furniture, home decor, a little bit of what is in vis-a-vis, but next door has got also a lot more in there on furniture-wise. And then we would just started saying, okay, let's just open it up. And we started just opening it up. So it's opened every day, Monday through Saturday, from 10 a.m. to 5:30.
And what's happening, I can see it already. You guys are going to buy a building across the street because you went from overflow, which is now going to become permanent, to overflow across the street. And like I said, it's going to develop real fast. Now, here's a big thing. For all you listeners out there, you know I'm the guy, okay, the macho guy, he's masculine, all this kind of stuff. Well, some people may disagree, but I was asking Diana and Pat here, well, what about the guys when the women are dragging their husbands around? They're like, oh, baby, do we got to go in here? Why don't you tell them there are some things, there's a lot of things for the guys to look at. Why don't you explain about that?
There is. We have some architectural salvage. We have old doors. We have old tools. My husband's a veteran, and so he loves our country and army, and so we have things that are related to the military.
Yeah, like metal Harley stuff you were saying, too.
And right? Harley stuff. He's a Harley guy.
I'll tell you what, there's a lot of Harley people out there.
Yes.
If you got some Harley artifact, they would love to hang them on their man cave wall.
Yes.
So a lot of good stuff there.
Yes, some stop signs and old signs. So a lot of things for the guys.
What's your plan? I mean, we may have touched on it bits and pieces, but what's the general plan in the future of growth and expansion, that people are listening and have a product or service that can get connected with you to help develop this plan of growth?
Oh, well, we're just hoping that we keep on growing as our sales keeps on going up.
That's a given. And with you being on the radio and people hearing what you've got, it's going to happen a lot quicker. If that's a call for me, let me know, Kincaid. And I just think it's going to grow fast, because I remember seeing you from the beginning. I'm like, what is that place? What is that place? And I just saw a couple things through the window as I drove by, and I said, you know, I'm going to stop in there. And when I stopped in, it was like, wow.
What about them?
I'm interested. There's a whole bunch of stuff, okay? So I think it's going to grow really fast. And there's a lot of places across the street. Is there any kind of push you can broadcast over the airwaves to help make this thing get bigger to people who are listening and make it persuaded to make different decisions as to what they can do in the town of Rogers?
Oh, I don't know.
Political platform. You've got a political platform now.
Yeah.
Well, I think Rogers is going to be a growing town, and we are welcoming any kind of business to come into there. But with vis-a-vis, we're just really planning on and looking forward to the growth in the furniture and home decor area. Mm-hmm. I think that's going to build us a lot. And in Pat's clothing, her new clothing line, and the jewelry, too.
Yeah.
Well, I think you got a great... Go ahead.
Go ahead. We do have a whole booth dedicated to Iron Orchid Design products, and that's where people can embellish, create their own unique items. So that's up and coming. We have only been in business like 3.5 years, so... I believe that we're doing very well, and I'm thankful for all of our customers. And once they find us, they come in and go, oh my gosh, I never knew this was so big. And they're surprised. And I see repeat customers coming back and bringing their friends and making it a Women's Day Out area.
You know what I enjoyed about it when I went in there? You left me alone unless I wanted to be talked to. I'm one of those guys, let me come in. Let me just do my thing, okay? Mm-hmm. And if I need help, I'll come and get you. And mm-hmm. you saw that, and you felt my vibe, and you let me do it. But as soon as I asked, you're right there on it. But another customer comes in, and they're a different vibe, and you're right on it. You can read the people, which is very good. Okay, ladies, time's a ticking here. So let's wrap this up by saying, once again, who you are, time, place, location, and any final things that you want to get out there for people to listen to.
Okay, I'm Pat Posvar, and I own Vis-a-Vis Galleria, located at 3 West Mesquite Avenue in Rogers, Texas.
And the time and the hours that you're available?
We are open, posted hours are 10 to 5:30. I usually get there because I'm still excited about the shop. I usually get there by 9:30, and soon I will put my sign out and say we're open, and I catch a lot of people going back and forth.
Pat, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't you say once, or didn't we in our discussion say that you were willing to open a certain time for a private viewing or something?
Yes. If there's a group of ladies, let's have at least 5 or 6 ladies that would like an evening out. If they contact me ahead of time.
Wow, that's great.
We can have a private shopping experience for them. We've done it a couple of times before. It's always been a lot of fun. And the girls tell each other if that looks good on them or if that doesn't look good. And I always furnish some wine to go with it.
I'll be there. I'll put on a dress and be there. What the heck? Okay. Diane, anything you want to follow up with?
No, I think Pat covered it well.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's Pat and Diana, Vis-a-Vis Rogers, downtown Rogers. And go to aaronsgunshop.com if you want to get a real quick connect. Go to the radio page, and there's a link there on my radio page as a sponsor. And don't forget, support the sponsors and support the program. Without them, I'm not in the air, okay? So it's a team effort here. So, ladies, I can't thank you enough. Great job. And Kincaid, let's take a break. And when I come back, we'll finish up the show with a couple of things, this and that. See you on the other side.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com.
Power. Sometimes you just need more. But what do you do when that yard equipment needs more or just isn't working like it used to? The answer is Cameron's Fall Engine, formerly Cameron's Heat Company, where friendly service and quantity work stop at 408 West Bath. They provide all your outdoor power equipment needs. Check out their selection of Echo, Snapper, and Zero Turn Big Dog Mowers. Power through the summer with Cameron's Fall Engine. Call 254-697-3452 or stop in at 408 West Bath.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
Welcome back, everybody, to Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program. I got about 2.5 minutes. I'm probably going to only use one, and we can go out with some music or something. But I enjoyed the conversation with Pat and Diana there. I'm telling you, I go there a lot, and I always find unique gifts. You know, there's a lot of people out there who are difficult to get gifts for. To me, personally, electronics gets boring after a while. Yeah, it's great, but you want to always try to find something that's personal. If you're looking to get a gift for somebody, you kind of study the person and try to figure out, you know, what do they do? What are their ins and outs? What fits the bill? What's special? What's different as compared to a mass-produced product? But anyway, Vis-a-Vis in Rogers, Texas, check them out. I wanted to reiterate the scheduling here. Next Friday, which is the third Friday of the month, which will be every month, is Ladies' Night. So the third Friday of every month is Ladies' Night. But prior to that, on August 9th, is the second Friday of August. It's going to be around Robin. So let me clean that up a bit. I just killed that. Every second Friday of the month is the Round Robin competition. And I'm going to ask all my faithful listeners, all the people on social media, to please promote that. Spread it around. Tell everybody you know. If you've got a firearm, if you've got a license to carry, I should see you on the Round Robin competition. Ladies and gentlemen, there's no excuse. If you're carrying a firearm for self-defense and you don't practice, you're foolish. Okay? You're foolish. You're silly. That's crazy. Don't be carrying something you don't know how to use, and God forbid a life or death situation comes up. At least do something. And shooting at a piece of paper that's stationary while you're standing there under controlled environments, yeah, the gun shoots straight. Most of the time it doesn't because people don't know the proper techniques. But the round robin competition puts you under stress, under time, different guns, unfamiliar territory. It's great. In a peaceful environment, you can get all the stress without being really in danger. And so every second Friday of the month is the Round Robin competition. Spread the word. Every third Friday of the month is Ladies' Night. The ladies' range time is free. So ladies and gentlemen, until next week, keep your powder dry and God bless.